at any rate. So, January, and we want to get the script done by April.
Yeah.
Okay. So, let's get a direction flow here.
Well, as far as like where we're going to go with the story?
Yeah, like what we want to do as far as like what's the basis of what we want to do?
Oh, okay, let's talk about that. Okay, so it's called, I think it's going to be called Parenthetically.
Okay.
And the caption is American Film with English Subtitles.
Okay.
And that's what we're working with. And to, showing the... I don't know, maybe it's even the change of the American English language as we know it. Like, you'll be... It's definitely not the same as it was back in the 1800s.
Right.
And then, you know, when you watch, was that Deadwood, what have you?
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, those history buffs are, like, revamping what we know as the 1800s. It wasn't John Wayne's doing a thing. It was real, you know, Victorian-esque still. And so I was, you know, that's part of my inspiration. Seeing like, well, if this is true verbiage, you know, well, what's going on now?
Yeah.
What's going on now is disgusting me, actually. I'm not really happy with it. There's a lot of, everything's got to be sugar-coated or, you know, politically correct, especially in a, you know, corporate office situation, restaurant situation where I'm at. You know, got to, you know, mind what you say versus speaking what actually needs to be said.
Right.
That's a frustration. What else? I think just sociologically we do that to one another. I don't know if it's like a protective barrier. You know, classic examples in a girl's bathroom.
Right.
Where you'll have some gal say, oh, that's a nice outfit.
Right.
And you know exactly that she does not mean that. And everybody knows that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she actually means quite the opposite. And
yeah.
And what's funny is like the other girl like is either aware that she knows that what she's saying. I don't know, it's just so boggling that
yeah.
No one stops someone in their tracks and is like, no, you didn't mean that.
Well, yeah.
What do you think I meant?
Right.
You know, no one's ever going to challenge it. They're just going to let the conversation flow along.
Sure.
So they perpetuate that whole process.
I've thought about that with politics. The only way that you can really be a good politician is if you can be fake.
Well, yeah, same. Yeah, girls' bathroom or on the podium, you know, debating in politics. It's the same... Same, oh man, yeah.
Or a corporate CEO. I mean, you have to mask what you really want to say.
Right.
It's all bullshit.
So one, I don't know if I'll have the time to tap into why we do.
Right.
I don't think I'll be able to touch on that in the short, but maybe with a follow-up piece if it's, you know, deemed necessary. But I definitely want to expose that reality.
So if we're going to expose it, ideally would it be nice to get it raw as shit and like... possibly take this recorder and find like a conversation that one
if I find
have.
That three months down the road that I am meaning something else and I'm saying to you right now, I'm going to be boggled. I would be like, this is going to really rock my brain. What that guy was trying to do.
Yeah, what are you trying to do? But I'm trying to think. I mean, because I've been thinking about this ever since and I've whittled it down to like, you know, politics and high corporate shit. Like, people just genuinely don't say what they think,
right.
What they believe. But more what you're saying, too, is the whole idea of, like, a Shakespearean rendition of what we're saying. If Shakespeare was here right now and he wrote down everything we said and put it on paper and gave it to somebody, we'd both be like, wow, that's what we were saying. Because they would write it in that dialect. They
exactly.
would write it in an English that we aren't speaking, that we've been watered down with. But I think you take that notion of... early English and the way that it was spoken with the way that we're supposed to interpret the way that we're speaking to each other, and it's interesting. So who would be interesting characters? Who would be completely fucking cool characters in the script that people can completely relate to but would be compelling and not ordinary? Like, you wouldn't want a house of, like, people that are, like, screening something for Big Brother. And you wouldn't want something...
No, I mean, we could take the dialogue right from Big Brother, or any one of those reality shows, and that'd be enough dialogue for me to crank out that short.
But who would be the people that would deliver it? Like, I mean, you would have to have, like, that girl on stage, and a guy, or a girl and a girl, or two guys, whatever. I mean, like, that's what we have to think about. Like, who would be good to be characters?
Well, before we get to that, you know, like, you know, just just further, like, put the case more like it's a conversation. So when you hear the politicians at the podium and they're, like, sugarcoating something, you know for a fact the reporter is firing questions, like, hard. They're always going to want to fire the hard questions.
Right.
And then they're going to get the soft answer back.
Sure.
So I want to steer away from the politician angle because it's only seem one-sided.
Right, right.
You're always going to have a journalist asking heavy, pipe-hitting questions.
Sure.
And it's going to be responded with this kind of thing. I want to do it so we're like, you're watching it and you see two people. I don't know if they're going to be aware of what they're doing or oblivious to how they're interacting with one another, but it's happening.
Right.
So those two people, like, in a conversational setting, if one's going to be, might as well, there's just going to be two of the same character.
Right.
You know, and it's an easy example to use two gals that are just, you know, that we wouldn't pay any attention to. But if we could, you know, if we could, like, interrupt them, you know, and show them something, like, what are you doing? How can you keep talking like this?
Right.
And make an impression to them.
Right.
So at least to become aware of the situation. Or maybe they tell me that they are aware and that's just how they do it.
Right.
And like, you're old, dude. You just don't get it, man. It could be like that.
Right.
It could be housewives, you know, getting together.
You know, I was thinking,
there's a lot of drama on TV is built up on that same philosophy. Like, there's not effective communication. And there goes, you know, drama ensues.
Right.
And, you know, clean writers make it a point to, you know, harness that.
Yeah.
The, you know, problematic conversation.
You know what might be interesting? I was just thinking, if I hit, like, two of the big bullseyes that we're going after, is that what if a young girl, 16, 17, 18, goes into a doctor's office and, like, meets, like, the initial, like, nurse at the desk and talks to her and they have this conversation. And it's like, it goes along with what we're saying. They just can't understand each other. They're trying to get the insurance thing. They're trying to get the address. They're trying to get all this. Like, why is she there? And once she goes back there, she finds out that the nurse, after she talks to her, the nurse figures out by the last name and the way this girl looks that that's a girl that she gave up for adoption at some point. Like, the whole time, she's, like, going through this, like, horrible language thing, and metaphorically, she finally gets through this language barrier to deal with something much bigger, and it minimalizes the whole idea that language is really that big of a barrier, because it's more about biology. I mean, it could be the idea.
Man.
Which is like the bigger impact thing. It's like, yeah, we're fucking around with language and shit, but it's like, we finally get through and we're like, okay, we understand each other. We got our insurance, you got my address, we got this figured out, and I get in, and this woman's like examining me, and she's my mom, and she gave me up for adoption because shit and stuff when she was 16, and here I am sitting in front of her. I mean, it's like, I would love to see the script be like that for this woman that wants to like really act this out, like and really have something that would just get her. Like, that would get her, that would get us, that would get a script, that would fucking be like, bam.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you know, somebody does have that, you know, epiphany, that awakening, that would be nice to show that.
And
I don't want to be, like, overzealous about the drama. Like, oh, you're my lost daughter. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But maybe some, you know, that's equally as shocking, but maybe not so dramatic like that.
Right.
You know, so that's definitely a great angle for the. And that was like my initial approach, like to you know have the you know this is the conflict with the communication that's going on. The resolve would be you know the person that spoke on his mind, what was on his mind all the time.
Like, right.
He just lives with it and has no reservations about saying what's on his head. Like Jeremy, you know, he was like I've always saw Jeremy as being that dude. Like he doesn't say much. But what he does say is exactly what he wants
exactly,
to say.
Exactly, no. This would be... Yeah.
And, I don't know if he could interject in this, you know, whatever conversation was happening. And you know, I always saw, like, the stink face happening, because they wouldn't know how to process the truth.
Yeah.
And so he, in order for him to communicate to him, has to transpose into this dialogue that they were talking in.
Yeah.
And then they get it, and then they respond in the truth. Like, everything they said was exactly what they meant, only after he had to fabricate his own dialogue and have that little role reversal.
Yeah. No, and that's awesome. I completely see that. And that's great to get Jerry the basis for it, because that's the way he is. It's like, there's a lot of things that he said to me. And he is a man of limited words that I've always remembered, you know. Right. I remember at one point he said, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey, which is a hugely cool thing to, like, think about and get into. But I don't know. I mean, with the script, I want there to be, like, this, like,
okay, even like
this whammy.
Even for Dave, like, for instance.
Yeah.
Dave incites things.
Yeah.
You know, he just naturally does it. He doesn't mean to, but he...
He's that kind of fellow.
He doesn't, I mean, sometimes he can be blunt, you know, blunter than a rock, or he can be sharp as a knife. But at the same time, it's like, so last time I talked to him, when I wasn't, you know, drunk on New Year's, we were talking about Sean's trip to Colorado. And everybody was like, oh, it was good to see him. And then his girlfriend was happy to see Sean again. And David obviously was happy to see him. And his girlfriend says hi to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what about Jer? Like, well, she didn't really like Jer. So, which, like, Jer was just quiet. I'm like, yeah, and she just kind of didn't get a good vibe off that, like, a good read because he was quiet. I'm like, well, you know, he had a good time.
Yeah.
So then he further perpetuates. He's like, so, is there something I need to know about Jeremy? I mean, is he okay? Did he? You can tell me, dude. Does he not like my girlfriend?
Oh, shit.
It was like getting to that point. I'm like, no, come on, Dave. He's like, well, he just seemed like he might have been acting a little, you know, like delicate.
Oh, shit.
Anyway, I'm like, Dave, are we having this conversation right now?
You know what's so weird is that Dave and Jeremy have a weird relationship. I went, Friday night, we went on Johnson Drive, and I recanted the story about us getting stuck at the gas station. And it was because Dave was giving Jer a bunch of shit, and Jeremy fucking blew his motor out. And there's this weird relationship. It's so weird when you mention that, because it was like there's this part of fucking Jeremy that wants to be like non, like what Dave thinks, and there's a part of what Dave is that wants Jeremy to be. They want to like even out the shit that they don't want to feel. I don't know, like they're gonna knock each other about. And Jeremy, I know Jeremy enough. Like it's already a no brainer to me. He just absolutely, completely had no qualms with her. And it was Dave just being like, huh, he's a very smart, inquisitive guy that doesn't say a lot. I wonder if he was thinking shit, you know, because that's the way Dave is.
Well, and there's probably maybe a little guilt factor, you know, whatever. Then one of the things was like, he wanted to bring Tara out, Jeremy did.
Yeah.
And it just didn't happen. It wasn't in the cards. And, you know, Dave had his gal out, and if I had to go, you know, maybe I would, I don't know, whatever, but
sure.
It was important for Tara to see Dave as much as it was for Jeremy at that point, because Tara quickly became good friends with Dave.
Yeah.
And was very sad to see him go, yada yada.
Sure.
And at one point, the conversation was going to be like, well, it's kind of like a guy's thing. And it didn't really end up that way.
Right.
But the girlfriend kind of, she did a great job. She wasn't in the way or anything, but it was definitely wasn't like a guy's thing.
Right.
And they're like, well... And it was overwhelming for her to meet all these, like, three, you know, closest friends.
Right.
She hasn't seen any one of his friends.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Since he moved out there.
Sure.
And then in one weekend, like, here you go.
Yeah.
So she handled stuff, like, awesome, like, fantastic.
Yeah.
And so what, you know, maybe Jeremy wanted to have his wife out there.
And well.
That made the only thing that he wasn't really happy about, but it certainly wasn't going to take it out in Holly.
I can understand that from his perspective. I mean, he's a married man. He has a couple kids. He's been married in that situation for a while. I'm that way. I don't, like, go out without Carrie.
Right.
I got to a point where it's like, if she can't come out with me, I just want to share my life with her.
Right.
And I can see him wanting to do that. I completely can. And I can see his contemplative moments being like, Jesus, this is when we put the kids to bed. This is when, you know, I have time with my wife and shit. It has nothing to do with the girlfriend, but she's going to be like, kind of linear in that way, where she's going to think there's something, or even days. I mean, it's like, I mean, I don't know, you throw a whole new juggernaut into shit when you have more than just yourself or just a girlfriend or anything that you're thinking about. I mean, when you have all these different things going on, I mean, I'm sure it's, Yeah, I mean, for a guy that's as inquisitive as Jeremy is, I can see that it would be something that would get him, you know? Because he wants to be all-inclusive. I mean, he wants everybody to experience it, but if he's going to do it alone, I don't know. I can see it being something that, yeah, would be misinterpreted.
Getting back on the track, I mean, as far as, like, finding your character.
Yeah.
There's even another situation today where Sean was on the phone with his techies, and he was, you know, kind of getting disgruntled on the phone. He's like, so, I was just wondering if you could go ahead and take care of this now.
Right.
But, you know, versus later, you know,
right,
while I'm sleeping tonight. So, like, do it.
Right.
Like, come on. I don't know how else to say, like, and he's like, he's asking still, but he doesn't want to offend, and, you know, it's so funny.
No, that's good. That's, I mean, good. That's good. It, because basically he wanted to say, don't fuck with me. I want to sleep tonight.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and
just
do
get a
job
down
right now, and then we'll be done with this conversation, instead of, like, thinking about getting into it maybe later on at,
right,
11 o'clock.
You're a hired professional. We've given you fucking time and money to do it. Just get it done. Yeah.
And then he was, you know, I kept going on, like, well, you know, I just want to address this problem while the server's down. Why should we address it while it's up? And he was doing all he could not to be brutally honest, but I'm like, maybe at that point, that's the demand of change.
Yeah.
I just I don't know how many, I get wrapped up in that too. Like, if,
yeah,
I say the wrong thing at the job, someone's going to misread me, and I feel like I'm lying to myself when I say that, when I succumb to that kind of communication.
Yeah.
You know, when I got a gal that I opened with, and, you know, as a server, we all have our side work, and there's daily side work that you do,
mm-hmm,
before the shift. It's like, you know, marry sugar caddies or salt peppers and what have you.
Sure.
Nobody wants to do it.
Right.
So why would someone ask me if I wanted to do that? So you want to go ahead and do those sugars? I'm like, do I want to? Absolutely not.
Fuck you. Don't do that.
Why wouldn't you just say, well, I got here first, you're going to go ahead and do those?
Yeah.
Why would I want to do that?
Yeah. Hey, yes.
And there's that, you know, but that's a common thing, is like people asking, would you want to maybe go ahead and do something and I should probably tell you what to do?
Yeah.
Would you want to go ahead and clean that kitchen?
Yeah.
Oh, of course, yes. I would love nothing less than cleaning the kitchen.
I'd love to.
And it's clean, by the way, just
yeah,
for the record.
Right.
We're not looking at it.
Right.
But it was my line of sight that the kitchen was right here. I had to clean a lot as a kid.
No, it's...
But thank God Dad never said, you want to clean the kitchen.
Yeah.
He just said KP. And I'm like, oh, dang. All right. And I hated it, but I did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I told you clean, you know, I'm great.
No, but it is, it's completely shit like that. It's completely like fucking what you mean versus what you really mean. But that's, that. The thing with this.
Do you find that in your relationship at all with Carrie? Or are you guys like completely, I mean, I see you guys, from what I've seen as an outsider, completely honest. And that is awesome.
Yeah, we do have our moments where we're just like,
I mean, compassion's got to be there, no doubt.
No, sure. And there's going to be, like, there's going to be fire, and there's going to be the whole emotive thing that goes into it. But yeah, there's times where we just don't understand each other communicatively. Like, we were at the store yesterday, for instance, and she wanted to go get some shit in the cosmetics, and I was like, well, I'm going to go off and I'm going to do something else. And there was like three things that I wanted to do, and one involved her. But I thought, I'm going to maximize this time. I'm not going to bust your balls. I'm going to go on. You can take your time and do whatever you want to do, and I'm going to do my thing. But at the end, when we talked about it later on, she thought I was rushing her because I wanted to go do something else, but I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I was giving her extra time to do what she wanted to do, so I wasn't, like, there with the cart, like, with Miles doing his thing and squawking. But it's shit like that. It's like, you think you're doing something that's beneficial, but it's perceived as something that's, like, completely opposite,
yeah,
like, it's the antithesis of what you want to do, which is the interesting thing about communication. So with us, the cool thing about both of us is trying as communication can be between us. We know how to communicate, but we have to, like, find that niche.
Right.
And I think that's the way married couples are. I think that's the reason why a lot of people do get divorced, because they get to the point where it's like, I just don't want to even try to communicate with you anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very aware of that in my own personal, you know, life, watching my parents communicate.
Sure.
They have all but given up on communicating.
So they just, they're done.
It was, apparently it was a bad New Year. So it was one of those things I don't, it was so bad for them that I'm not even privy to this conversation. I could peel away the onion, but all I get is tears. Not any more layers, you know. I'm not going to find anything deeper. They're at wit's end. And maybe that's something else that, like, you know, I'm emotionally troubled myself as far as when it comes to relationships.
Sure.
But, you know, I've been trying to take progressive steps to ensure that maybe I don't repeat cycles that are apparent in my own life, my own family's life.
Yeah.
One thing that has been in my mantra since I've been up in Chicago is living by the truth. You know, it's like, yes, no, I like this, I don't like this, and not pulling punches, and it seems to be working on a very daily, very, like, in a social setting.
Right.
It's outstanding. Before, I'm like always ready to accommodate.
Right.
Well, done with that.
Right.
It's time to take care of me.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not going to get, like, on a rampage or anything, but I'm going to be honest about, like, going out or not. And, you know, if my coworkers want to take me out for drinks, and I'm like, no, I don't want to. And they're like, why not? I just told you I don't want to. There's no more reason to it.
Right.
They're like, you don't want any more justification than this. You won't. I'd be lying to you if I said anything.
Right. Right.
So, and they're like, like, no, don't ask me again.
That's right.
I, you know, appreciate, you know, the gesture.
Yeah.
But, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, no, and I know
you've
that
just
feeling.
Been, like, the last 6 hours, some cats that aren't your friends.
Yeah.
Why are you going to go try to make friends? I mean, it's good every once in a while, but they do this religiously. There's a place across the street that's called Paisanos that, for a $20 buy-in, you can basically drink all you want.
Oh, shit.
If you're eating, it's 25.
Yeah.
And these people go in night after night and get ripped.
Right.
Like, it's just a unique perspective, but maybe I was doing that, back in KC, maybe not with a $20 cap.
Right.
Spending more money, actually. But I was doing that, finding ways to go out and have fun, and I'm, like, a little disgusted. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
What's even more disgusting is that their friends are their coworkers, and I have a huge problem with that.
Right.
One, I've never had any coworkers in that situation.
Right.
Than me and my dad.
Right. Yeah, sure.
Or, you know, John and Dean, but John and Dean and I never hung out.
Right.
I mean, even as friends, we would, you know, we would get coffee like once a month.
Sure, sure.
But the band was a band, you know, when I was working, you know, with them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, yeah.
You were a friend of the band. I'm a friend of the band.
Sure.
We hang out.
Sure.
We're friends.
Yeah, that's it. And that's the key. Yeah, it's,
more beers. Oh. But, yeah. Hey, dude, you're a prick. I'm just kidding, dude. I just helped myself to another shot. A little intimidating seeing this red light on all night. Judging you, looking at you, listening to you.
Mentioning the whole idea of, like, friendship and business. It's like there's angles that, I mean, even in a relationship like that, how close you are, you still have to be somewhat safe to a certain degree.
Well, you're going
to
need your own away time.
Yeah.
If you're spending so much time working with somebody or just around them, you got to find that balance. I mean, Look at Jaeger, for example. You know, he's engaged to this gal. They both work at the same place now.
Yeah.
At the drop. They live together. But wow. So you're going to work and live together all the time.
Yeah.
Probably got one car between you. So I know that can, for me, it would immediately kill the relationship. It would be terminal if I was not, you know.
That'd be tough.
I think you got to
work and then.
I know, is that why they prohibit the interoffice dating?
I would think so. I would think there would be an overriding logic to that. I mean, that would be just way too much. Because usually if you, like, go to work as a spouse, you're, like, kind of getting away from everything, you know?
Well, versus, yeah, and, you know, if anything, when you're focused and not distracted, you know, in general.
Yeah.
Whatever your job may be.
I mean, if you have an issue, if they have an issue when they go into work, they could just completely be shitty, you know? And if you own the place, that's a problem, you know. But,
like for us, you know, at the same rule at McCormick, like there's no, you can't date inside the one another. You can date outside at another McCormick's, but it can't be inside.
So yeah.
I think it's the same thing like having a cell phone during your shift. They, you know, we had to sign papers saying we wouldn't even carry a cell phone, even if it was on silent, or even turned off for that matter. It's just, if they call for empty pockets.
Right.
And we have one on us, it's like a write-up. I'm like, always wondering, like, well, people don't have enough responsibility. And I've been caught, like,
yeah.
Well, sometimes halfway through my shift, I'll randomly check my text messages and see what happened, maybe text somebody back.
Right.
I will lose my train of thought.
Yeah.
It will take me that much further to catch up. And I gotta watch it, you know, especially, like, well, forget that you got a table.
Yeah.
Or somebody's ready to pay, or something. Just by, like, you know, getting distracted.
Yeah.
So I can see it, you know, and it's only, you know, at most 6 hours that you're working any one shift.
Sure. There was a thing I read in a bathroom reader today that said that Americans on average lose 20 points on their IQ when they go on vacation.
Yes.
Which is a part of that whole thing of, like, having a phone.
I didn't think your IQ was fluctuated like that.
Yeah, that's what they said. It was pretty bad.
I thought it was one thing that it would stay solid. You'd take it early on when you're 6. That will gauge where you're going to be, you know, with your IQ for the rest of your life. I think you could detriment it by drinking, you know, killing off some cells.
Yeah.
Doing the illicit drugs.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can ever... I thought that's how it was gauged. Like, well, you do it when you're young.
Yeah.
The test results normally aren't given back to you for your own protection, I guess.
Yeah.
For your own respect.
Yeah. I could have swore that's what it said. It was like 20 points, like you just completely fucking lose your mind. Which, you know, on the one hand, I can understand, because when you do go on vacation, you just completely lose track of all of these things that you keep up with. I mean, you have routines and tasks.
Oh, sure, yeah.
All this shit, when you, like, don't think about it. But I would think that you would gain it by the relaxation that you would get, but, you know...
The habits, you know, that's the thing, is like establishing a pattern or a habit, and, you know, we're all creatures of habit.
Yeah.
Unless, like, I think there's people out there that fight it, and I think I fight it sometimes. I think, I don't know, when I look at the suburban land of, like, Overland Park,
yeah,
and I realize, you know, all the cars are leaving approximately the same time,
mm-hmm.
from the garages,
mm-hmm.
they all have the minivans or SUVs now,
yeah,
whatever is of the moment. Kind of like, damn, well, I'm, like, I want to resist.
Yeah.
I'm a part of the anti-establishment. I'd hate to succumb to being another Energizer battery.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, like, you know, I'm not getting anywhere. I'm spinning circles by not joining the team. You know, I'm not playing the game. So I'm having this, like, conflict. My duality has been challenged. And I'm like, well,
yeah.
What I have found is nice in my own life, much as everybody else, I'm sure.
Right.
Is having a standard routine at the house.
Right.
Start with your home.
Right.
And that's actually, you know, fundamentally important. At least it is to me, I've come to find out.
Right.
But if you get certain things to do at the house, you clean your house once a week, whatever, twice a week, whatever. But you're doing this. I've been doing that since I've been up there. I make my bed every day.
Right.
I've challenged myself and said, as soon as I moved up here, like, because I did it back here a while, it kind of made me happy when I did it.
Right.
And I would slack off. And I'd fall into this little funk or whatever.
Right.
But so far, like, that little thing, like making your bed, is enough for me to keep the rest of my day going.
Sure, sure.
When you start off knowing that you just, you have to. Some days it's instinctual, and I'm already making it before I realize I am.
Right.
And then other days I have to tell myself to make it.
Right.
And it's really 15 seconds out of my life.
Oh, yeah.
To throw the sheets at.
Oh, yeah.
But it's somehow has a more longer psychological effect on me.
Yeah, no. I've thought about the whole Gen X notion of, like, the establishment, like, giving in and, like, going to suburbia and getting married and all of that. And the interesting thing about it is that I think there's a big fear that you, like, completely give up. Like, you completely get to the point where it's like, I lost. I just didn't do what I wanted to do with my life. And now that I'm in a position right now where I'm completely chartering and in a position of being a family guy and being married and being in suburbia, I think more about the fact that I haven't given up on what I wanted to do. Like, I just won't give up on any of that. Like, if I want to be an artist and I live in suburbia and my neighbors think I'm insane, fine. If I'm going to be the guy that, like, you know, wants to, like, relive some, like, early notion of being a journalist for a station that's completely cuckoo, fine. You know, it's like, I'm just not going to get to the point where I want to give up on that. I haven't given up on the notion of traveling and, like, seeing other things and doing other things. And I think that's where the death is. And I think that's where the whole post-World War II generation of us is. It's like we saw our folks get into ruts, and we've seen the infighting and being stuck and not being able to do what you want to do. But we've been given this position where we can be, like, we've seen suburbia. We've seen how our folks have interacted. Let's better it. Let's do something that's better. And I know that Gary and I are constantly conscious of, like, doing that, not only with our relationship but with our kids and the way we want to live our lives. I mean, we don't want to just trade it all in and be like, oh, we're going to be like everybody else. We're going to just be status quo. We want to be...
I mean, are you gauging your happiness versus your parents' lives? For a standard of living,
yeah,
and where you want to be in your life and what have you?
No.
Because, you know, obviously want the best for you.
Sure.
Any good parent would obviously want them to... their generation.
I don't gauge it the way they gauge it, but I do think about it. I know that they want us to be better off than they were, but I think about it more in the... I don't know. I think about it in the way that... Yeah, when you have kids, you understand how you're raising your kids based on the way you were raised. I mean, there's things that you're going to do that will be different and that you want to do and that you've modified your entire life. You've built yourself up to that point where you're like this biological entity that's going to replicate, and you're going to be in love, and you're going to just completely love this kid. You're going to teach them what you want them to be, and you're going to do it in ways that are going to be completely different. Like the other day I was talking to Miles about how I want to, like, show him how to, like, do house shit. I want to show him how to, like, hook up a doorbell and, like, hammer in lattice and, like, you know, change out, like, an electrical fixture, because I know I never got that. I want him to be equipped to do that.
Okay.
But I think the overriding blanket statement that I'm trying to get at is that I understand the whole Gen X notion of, like, really wanting to, like, travel and see the world, not replicate errors that you saw in your life. But I think more than anything else, that there's this real fear, especially with, like, lower generations now, is that you give up if you get to the point where you do actually end up in the suburbs and you're, you know, married.
Do you ever get it from your dad that it's like, does he ever say that you're doing things as he did when you were the same age, making the same choices or decisions and following the same genetic patterns of maybe not genetic patterns, but just, you know, no?
I wish he would. I wish he would bring up rhetoric like that we could discuss, but it's more of just, we just talk about shit.
Well, like, that's my worst fear as well. Like, that's what I was going to get at. Like, my dad says that all the time. It's like watching myself in the mirror, you know, like 20 years ago. And I'm like, damn, dude, I hope you meant that as a compliment, not
right,
like as a failure, because you've done a lot more when you were my age. And I've been doing the same mistakes as you, and that's what you're calling me out on. When I
right,
call them, like, whatever, going way too, spending way too much money on electronics, or, you know, having this car enthusiasm thing and wanting certain things in life, you know, the same desires and wants and needs. But I'm like, Dad, but you were also making a lot more money than I was.
Right.
A lot.
Right.
At my age. I'm like, damn. And that's, you know, like, now I'm, like, old enough to start to have memories of, like, decent memories of what I was 20 years ago.
Right.
10, 11, you know, my brain was you know, record, I can remember things.
Sure.
Prior to that, you know, like 5, 6, 7, like, you know, fragments.
Right.
But now I know where my dad was when I was 10, 11 years old.
Right.
I know how it felt about him not being there. Yada, yada. So I'm like, man, I want to do something different that he hasn't done. Which he does say at the same time, too, I guess, you know, to his friends, like, well, the unspoken thing is like, well, at least you're not married to somebody you don't love.
Right.
And I know that's what he wants to say, but I'm a product of that relationship.
Right.
But I can so see it.
Right.
And do I, you know, do I call him out on that? I don't know. I did this time. Like, you guys should just get separated. Come on. Hello?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so there you go. I mean, what would be the benefit of it? I mean, you're the complete product of... Yeah. Yeah.
What's that? Here, let me get the bench for you.
Hey, Joe. She's got something, another request. What is it? I'll relate to it.
What's the matter?
I guess that's the question, like, what inherent benefit?
Door's open.
Is it hot?
Not really. My feet are fantastic. They feel really good. I got a little hole in them.
The rest of you?
I need to get a sweater. Hold on a second.
You need a sweater?
You
can shut the door if you want.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm fine, but I didn't even
think of it. Got a
cold. You want a shot?
No. I want to figure out which one of my bosses to talk to.
The first one. Why?
See?
Yeah.
Right there.
Go right to
the first. You don't get to talk to you the first, right?
Unless the first thought is involved, then you can't, obviously, because you would quote the situation before it got
you. But you go to the first, like, let's say you have, like, five people over you. You go to A or you go to B?
Oh, well, in the chain of command, you typically go to
A
first. Unless it involves A.
Okay, if A's out on leave...
Then you have to go to
B. And you want to go to B? Not because you want to feel like you're going to B because A's out on leave, but you would go to B anyway? What's A and B? Oh, it's B.
Chain of command. I think you got to respect the chain of command. Maybe it's there for a
so
reason.
So if A's out on leave, you wait until I get back.
And not unless it's important. It's a very urgent situation.
If it's urgent and you think A's not going to give you the answer that you want, you should go to B without being sneaky?
If you're trying to tell yourself that it's urgent...
It is urgent, but it's like A's not giving the answer I want, so like, I'm so bad at all this. I just want to see things work.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
I am so bad, but I'm really bad at all the other stuff.
With the bureaucratic red tape and what have
you.
Do you
want the all the white
towel? No, I didn't. You ate them last night. You got things just though. Yeah. Crispy and breaded.
Huh?
They
are crazy. Who are you? Like, he's like my favorite professor when it's those people who really influenced me. It's like, since he took like an administrative position, I just haven't gotten it. It's like, but I'm really bad at all that. And like, they're kind of pushing me into that where I have to like, teach and do it. And all I want is an updated job description in writing. That's all I want. things, they keep pushing, like, they keep giving me, like, more stuff to do, more stuff to do, but they keep giving me more money. I actually don't want more money. I just don't want the other stuff to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm actually not fighting to, like, get, like, a raise. I just don't want this other stuff to do. So, like,
you think
I want...
a manager is going to type up that list and it's going to be daunting?
It's the law. I deserve to have a job description.
No, no, no. I mean, do you think he's going to put in more than he would want to see on written down?
I mean, just
whereas, like, if
right
he was
now,
a D, then he would just, or she would be like, well, what do you think I should put on the paper?
I don't know. I mean, the problem is that I'm teaching my classes, plus I'm being, like, pushed into a position where I have to hire all these people and supervise all these people and train all these people, and it's like, I don't want more money. I just don't actually want to do that. Like, they're kind of, like, routing me into that, and I don't want it. And but the problem is I haven't done anything for, like, 6 semesters, so now I'm there. Like, now I have to do all of that. And it's like, fuck, I don't want to do that. I don't know how I got, like, put into a position where, like, I have to do all that stuff. I know I said the F word, I'm sorry. But it's like, I don't want to raise. I just don't want to do it. Which is impossible. You're right. I can go back. You didn't actually see that, but we're having kind of a one-sided conversation. And that's what you would say.
It's my body.
If you were speaking. And say, I allowed myself to be pushed in this position, and now I'm there, so I can go backwards. Thank you.
Well, but you can learn to make sure that it didn't occur any further than it does now.
That's the problem. That's the key. That's the idea. I have to quit my job. I hate my job. I don't want to do my job anymore. I can't do it. I was fine when I was just teaching English, but I can't do all this hiring and supervising and training and firing, and I can't do it. Can you please fix it for me?
Just fire them all.
I can't do it. And I don't even know who to talk to. Kato said that, like, in the chain of command, you go to A, not B. And that's right, but A is out on leave. So I could go to B, but if I went to B,
what about HR? What are they?
Yeah,
the same
like
they are all
negative.
They're all worthless. Why are they all worthless? They all hire everybody.
That's right. They should be, and they are. Everywhere I've been, HR stuff.
Yeah, not in the university system.
What?
HR doesn't do any hiring. They don't do any firing.
At the end, they have to.
Yeah.
Aren't they like the all?
Not in the
between
system.
Between hiring and firing, aren't they like the guidance counselors?
No, HR has does not have that role in the university system. Like, it's completely weird. It's not like that.
Who's your guidance counselor?
I don't have a guidance counselor.
How about you talk to a guidance counselor?
I have a program coordinator,
and
she's on leave. And
I don't know. Well, what about one of the kids would go to? I talk to that guy. It would be like a buddy-buddy, like, off the record, I gotta...
And, like, the person above her is, like, a dean.
And you can transpose the situation to a guidance counselor will quickly figure out it's about you, but you can pretend to talk about it with two students.
And you know my partner? Stupid.
Oh, yeah?
Because it was too complicated. And my other partner? Boss A? Hate them.
What about just like a...
I'm completely alone here.
Chopping off some apps at some other places, like the Walker Jesuits or whatever. Avila? The other college around here? South
Avila.
Here? Avila? Yeah.
I can't do this anymore. I have to talk to my boss. Like, I don't even know who my boss is.
What's the... what's stopping you from dropping off applications, or resumes, rather?
Because I don't have a PhD. I only have a master's, and most people with a master's are adjuncts, and that means that they teach a class at Longview, at Avila, at UMKC, and they get paid for teaching those classes, each class. They get paid 3,000 bucks or so, and that's it. But, like, I actually have, like, a full-time position, which gives me benefits, which we get through...
You can't leverage that to another...
You can't.
University.
You can't. I just have a master's, and I'm a PhD. I'm totally lucked out.
Yeah.
I got completely lucky, and I was in the T-score, so that helps. That completely helps. I mean, there's a million master's degrees out there, but there aren't that many master's degrees plus T-scores, you know?
Uh-huh.
But, like, the problem is that they just will, like, abuse you and use you until you stand up for it, and I don't know how to do it. I don't know where to go. I don't know. But I have to do it tomorrow. I have to figure this out for tomorrow.
That's what you impose for yourself?
No, that's just the way school starts next week. And I have to have this... I either have to have, like, meetings scheduled, or I have to figure this out by tomorrow. help me. Can you please help me?
Oh,
okay.
Time.
Tell him again.
I thought that this is what you have to do.
I've always been worried like that, but it always ends up okay because I figured out the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, right now I'm talking about the right thing to do.
But
I'm not worried. Everything's
okay.
Everything's
fine. Heroes from Heroes, yeah.
Is she on
Hannah Montana? That's not Claire. Well, she's from
Sexton
City.
Sexton City. Oh,
that's
okay.
Claire. That's the gal from Sexton City.
I'm trying to worry, it's just a clarification. It's like, what
did
I have to do? What is wrong with that? What is wrong with asking for
the opportunity? Why don't you ask for it?
They won't give it to me.
Okay, well then
tell
me about it.
I have a right to ask for one, though, don't I? I
can't you don't have to ask for one.
I signed a contract every
did
year.
Did you say, yeah. Where, how about you instead of asking for it, just say, where is it?
Yeah.
It's vague. It's like,
where can I find this?
It's like it says like in charge of writing center. Like, what does that mean? Does that mean I have to hire people? I have to fire people? I have to be like, what exactly does that mean? And then there's a director of writing center. So like, what does he do? If I have to hire and fire people, like
what comics you mean?
Yeah, I want to meet Thomas and Cecilia and Tom Joyce and Karen Boyce and the president of the fucking universe, and I want to say, like, tell me what I'm supposed to do. And then tell me how I'm getting paid for it, and I'll do it, and that's the end of it.
Do you feel glad you're completely alone here?
My maid quit. My office mate quit. She quit because it was just too complicated.
Same situation that you were in?
She took a higher paying position.
Where?
In this program, but as an advisor instead of an instructor.
Is that something she wants to do, or is she forced into that position?
I feel like she was forced into it. Like, she didn't want to do it, but they really wanted one of us to do it, me or her. And she knew there was no way in hell I was doing it. It's a 9-to-5 job. It's every day of the year. And it's for, like, $6,000 more than we're making, which is still not worth it. I have, like, I work on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I have summers off. I have a huge break at Christmas. It's like, $6,000? Are you kidding? That's just, like, $1 million for me to be here. Just send my kids off to school and be here when they get home. And be here in the summer. I'm going to do what Kayla said, and I'm going to go to B some days off on sick leave. And if A feels like I'm, like, superseding her authority, fuck her. She's off on sick leave, and I have questions I want answered, and I'll CC her. I will CC her.
You can BCC her. Yeah, exactly.
I will CC her. I will CC her so that she knows that I'm meeting with B, and she's next.
You got CC taken care of.
Without
a doubt.
No.
Yeah, the CC is like a nice
safety.
Yeah, like, well, I have CC.
We get Z some water, some HCO.
Water?
Z some HCO. You want some? Yeah.
Or an IHA?
Okay, that's okay. What I can't do is be a supervisor of 8 people below me.
Well, I'm asking, like, I mean, are you asking for yourself, or is there other people that you, colleagues, it's got to be other people that either have or don't have this job description thing. I mean, I've got one for my work in the corner, you know.
Yep.
It's not just you.
There's
more than one computer.
Okay. So there's a program,
yeah.
And it's called the APP, and it's Advanced Preparation Program, and what we have
what
is...
What is the department,
No, go, because this is helping me.
Why does each department, like, is micromanaged in that thing?
Completely micromanaged.
There's not one overlying general rule.
Okay, so there's English, and there's Arts and Sciences, and this is APP, it's right in the middle. Like, I work for both Arts and Sciences and English,
mm-hmm.
And there used to be, and then under here, probably the writing center, and then I have like 6 people that work under me. That I'm, like, directly responsible for supervising, hiring, firing, and training. But it didn't used to be like that. Like, this guy used to be here, and I used to be here. But this girl doesn't like this guy. So she wants me to be here, and him to be here. Which would mean that all these little spots down here, like, they answer to me instead of him. And I was really happy when it was him. I was good with that. But now it's me, and it's like, I don't like it like that. I didn't sign up for that. I don't want to be that. I just want to speak English. I don't want to hire these people and train these people and supervise these people and be responsible for, like, the curriculum that, like, and there's, like, 8 people down here. I don't want to do it.
Does this guy want to do it?
Yes, he wants to do it. But she doesn't like him.
So, I mean, this is your source.
He's the program director.
But isn't that the source of your situation? Because it's affecting him and it's affecting you.
Yeah, she sucks.
So this gal is, like, where it's stemming from. Now, where, I mean, if this guy went away and was replaced by somebody else?
She's a control freak. Wouldn't matter. He's completely mute. He totally mute. And basically would do whatever she said. She just, like, spit it out. But she, like, thinks that he wants to have some control over our program.
Is there anybody over here that we haven't even talked about that would be able to get some outsider's perspective on this?
She's saying that he will do whatever she says. That's what she tells all of us. But I want to go to him, and he's not B, he's Sue. B is, like, English. It's like this guy right here. His.
I'm just one step closer, and one step further away from this situation.
Yeah.
Because you need to. What is that?
An eyeball. I'm just stupid. I basically have right here. Is this me or is this Thomas?
That's Thomas.
Okay. So I basically have, but Thomas and I basically have Cecilia. I have Jeff, who I think I'm going to go to, is B. She's A. And then this is Tom Stroyk. And then Karen Vorst is over here. And then you have, like, the, like,
Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz right here. And none of these people are going to give me a job description, because if they do, they'll have to pay me more money. They realize that if they actually, like, put what I do into writing, which is 6 classes per academic year, training, supervising, hiring and firing 8 people, they're going to have to give me more money. But they don't understand that I don't want more money. I just don't want all of those duties. So how do you explain that? Because most people, like, who are me, are like, I just want more money. I don't want more money. I just don't want to do it. I can't do it.
You know what's more
important? I'm failing at doing it.
Yeah.
I'm completely failing.
Who is aware of that situation, that you are failing at your job?
Me.
That's it. No one else is cognizant of
All the students are not getting what they need. All of my graduate students who are not getting the training that they need. All of my writing fellows who are not getting the supervision that they need. They would say they were fine. But they're not. They're not getting what they need.
So it's just your perception.
It's not my perception.
You said no one
it's
else
reality.
Knows.
I know. You so know, you guys
so
know.
You just said your perception is reality, so you're like Pink Floyd?
Yes.
You're like the wall.
I'm like Pink Floyd. They're not getting what they need from me, because I can't possibly get them what they need with the amount of the hours that I'm working. Somebody else needs to be responsible.
They need to hire
what if,
somebody else.
What if one of my writing fellows? Do you have any writing fellows? Do you have any actual sexual harassment? No, it's not presumptuous. This right here is the way that corporations work, and even more so this is the way universities work. And you know that.
But I think you're thinking you're the only one that thinks that these kids are getting what
you
they're getting.
What? In about 3 weeks, I'm going to hire 4 people. I'm going to hire some of these folks for this position. I'm going to hire a GC, a graduate student teacher, to fill Holly's position. I'm going to hire James, motherfucking James, who quit in the middle of the year. James, you guys' friend James, who quit in the middle of the year.
The clone? My clone?
Your clone, whatever
we
the
know?
Hell his last
yeah.
name is.
Sweet
he quit in the middle of the year.
The guy that was supposed to be my clone. He hangs that down.
Jimmy?
Yeah,
yeah,
to me.
James was put in the middle of the year. Thank you. Fucking much. It's of his position.
She didn't notice it. It felt like at the end, she was like, this guy can't stand
it.
It's
like your husband. I was like, what are you guys talking about? And then somebody came up to me and I was like, that guy, he's like really good friends with your husband. I was like, you hired? And I was like, what? Smith, you hired this guy that was, like, really good friends with your husband. I was like, I have no idea what anybody's talking about. Everybody needs to just, like, stop it right now.
Jimmy quit in the middle of the year?
Quit in the middle of the year.
Did he know who you were?
No. I don't know. I don't think
probably
so.
After the fact.
Probably after the fact, because it was after the fact that everybody was like, oh my God, that was Jimmy, that was your husband's friend. Then, like, people started making a big deal of it. I don't think he knew then. So, I got to hire all those positions that were in the next 2 weeks.
It's bad karma. For him.
Yeah.
I mean, we call
it
what you
will. Nobody knew before he got hired. Because it would have been like, I hired him because he was Joe's friend. And Joe's look-alike.
Nah.
Yeah, they would have.
Nah. No.
Thank God nobody knew.
Jesus.
I'm a horrible business character, baby. You know this. I can't hire people. I'm a horrible business character. I have to hire all these people in the next 2 weeks. And I just... You know what?
Last year at this time, it wasn't like that?
No, because there was another person. Bridget was in my office.
How can you become a better Jessica character?
I can't. That's just a character. I just like everybody. Well, it wasn't only that, but, like, my boss, like, really came down on me, like, before Christmas and was like, you need to do this ownership program. You need to be, like, the head of this program. And I said, I don't want to be the head of this program. And she said, I'm going to do this, that worked really well. She was like, you're already doing everything. Why don't you just take ownership? And then it was like later, and then I was like, yeah, she's right. I am doing everything.
Can you pull my finger?
It was like, oh my God, there's like this, and this, and this, and this, and this. All these things I'm not doing. Like, either completely not doing, or like not doing by myself, that I can't possibly take ownership of. Who cares? God, who cares about this stuff? Anyway, quit.
Yeah, that's pretty disappointing.
He just walked away.
He just quit in the middle of the year.
Couldn't take it.
Wasn't very nice. I didn't think it was very nice. After I knew who he was. I know who he was before, but when I knew he knew you, it was like, not nice.
Maybe he didn't want to quit.
He didn't work with me. We're not recording this whole conversation.
No, yeah, it's all on tape. Digitally, burning to a flash drive.
Don't worry about it. You know why?
What are you going to do with that last finger?
No, here. You want some?
I'm going to make some more.
Will you make
some go ahead.
Potato skins?
Yeah. I'll make anything you want.
I'd be happy to munch on it. You won't have one with me?
I want to have a potato skin. I don't know if they take forever to come, but if there's like, I haven't had dinner, so.
Can we still order a pizza or something?
But, you know, my poor parents live in an area where pizza won't feel better. Like our old neighborhood.
That's not even Kansas City. That's wrong.
I am. Like, where we used to live, they lived, like, south of us, but, like, four streets in a much nicer neighborhood with much nicer houses, and Pizza Hut won't deliver there anymore. I saw Mom.
No tips?
Well, it's just that neighborhood, I guess. I don't know. It's, like, the same reason they won't deliver in the city. Like, we couldn't get Pizza Hut when I lived on State Line, 38th and State Line. Like, I couldn't get Pizza Hut there. They just don't deliver there. What is that?
38th and State Line.
Yeah. That was a long time ago, but...
Let me get a chair now.
Honey, are you good? You like that table? Can you do this? I need like a dog coach. I need like the dog whisperer, but like... You guys should just go to sleep.
Well, you know.
But when you go to D, they tell like...
Sure, you know,
everything below you,
that
like...
You got somebody who's going to go to bat for you.
I don't have anybody who's going to go to bat for me, but me. It's the problem.
If you don't have that, then, you know...
It's not like that in universities. It's like you're really on your own. You have to just...
Real quick, you know, when I moved up to the ongoing battle I have right now, it's kind of superfluous, because it's very temporary to me, at least in my head, the situation I'm in, being serving. But if I was going to stick it out longer than what's in my head...
Right.
I still may, just, you know, for the principal fact.
Right.
I got a problem with the structure.
Right.
As it was not the same as it was in Kansas City. And Kansas City follows the corporate policy, and it works.
Right.
It's a smooth, streamlined process.
set in the hole.
Okay, so they should all follow the same ceiling structure.
Because it works.
Right, yeah.
And when you, like, alter it, you know, and all of a sudden, like, I don't have a fixed schedule anymore. That was part of the attraction why I was hired, you know, why I took the job in the first place. It was like, well, you have a fixed schedule, that's awesome.
Right.
So I know that I'm going to work this lunch and this dinner.
Right.
Wherever through the week.
Right.
And we transfer up there with the same situation. And it's not. It's like, well, we're just going to stick to where we need to stick to.
Right.
Well, that stuff.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Because the reason why it ultimately sucks is because there's, like, tenured people that get their own shit.
Right.
They get to write their own thing.
Right.
But I don't.
Right.
Okay, now we inherently have a problem with corporate policy.
So how do you become tenured in that?
Just being there? I don't know.
For how long?
Outlasting the other servers.
So if you were there in Kansas City for 5 years and you moved to Chicago, it doesn't count?
There's something called a corporate trainer.
Right.
You're corporate trained and you go train some other employees and then all of a sudden, apparently at this place, you elevate and you get a, you know, pick and choose your schedule. But, say, a structure like that, you know, as far as I'm understood.
Right.
When I had the HR gal came by, you know, I thought she was to replace that manager. So I'm like, I asked that. I'm like, are you the, you know, person's going to take over this gal's job after the first of the year? Like, no, I'm the HR. Just seeing how things are going. I'm like, oh, well, that's cool. Let me go ahead and tell you how things are going.
Right.
And I'm the new guy. No one's been hired since me. But since I got there, I'm like, talk with everybody else. I'm like, guys, how long has this been going on? Because everybody else in the grill, or any of it, like anybody else is transferred in, like myself, same position, like
right.
This is not happening back in Philadelphia, or Minneapolis, or
right.
Whatever. But up here, it's like that's up. Nice, man.
So
yeah, I'm I found this out the very first day I got there when I didn't get to negotiate my schedule. Like I, you know, I'm open to negotiations. What do you do? The manager sits you down.
You gotta fucking know somebody with everything. And you know what I mean? It's like the longer that you work someplace, the more people you, like, make connections with. Like, I got my job because I knew somebody. Like, I was telling you, I was lucky because I was in a peace corps. Like, that was part of it. But, like, a huge part of it. There was a woman on the hiring committee who had a daughter who was in the peace corps. And, like, she completely connected with that.
Well,
you know, it's
God, I mean,
so lucky.
Okay.
And, like, the other person
yeah,
who was my counterpart, no, it's completely lucky.
Well,
No, it's completely lucky. And the person who was my counterpart, we had a couple of classes together, Bridget, and she, like, knew me. And, like,
lucky is, like, there's 12 resumes, and she, without you knowing, without anything was on the resume, just, like, randomly select number 8. You know why?
I still think that's
lucky. She saw 8 on the clock and went, boop, boop. No. Peace Corps is...
She had a daughter who was in the Peace Corps.
I got hired because I was an Eagle Scout.
Well, but that's very good.
Doesn't make me lucky.
No, okay, you're right.
I'm very happy that I was an Eagle Scout.
No, you're right. That's not luck. That's not luck. Yeah, I mean, it isn't.
No,
but it's
right.
Like...
It's fortuitous that there was another person on the other side.
It's a fortuitous event. You're right. It's a fortuitous event. That's why I got hired. You're right. It's not necessarily.
But you earned it.
Lucky.
I mean, you know.
I did, because I did something different from, like, all of the other, like,
you were
applicants.
Not the mainstream, no.
Right.
And you knew.
Right. But I happened to know somebody, too. I knew Bridget. She was my office mate before I got hired, and she, like, was like, let, you know, give her the job. And she had, like, the biggest say in the whole thing.
Right.
You know? But it's like, I don't know. It's like all of these years later, I want somebody who's giving me a fucking job description. Is that rocking the boat too much? You know how terrifying it was, kind of like... Is he awake? If he is also in there, you don't need to go up there. That's not good. I'm a good teacher. I'm a good, like, mentor. I'm not good at all this, like, schmoozing and stuff. I suck at it. I'm so bad at it. Like, I just want to like everybody.
Sure. Well, I mean...
I'm really bad at it, and I realize I understand that that's, like, a character flaw in any corporation, but I'm not good at these things. But if people, like, would just look at that and be like, okay, I believe her. I'm just going to give her, like, a job that she, like, knows that she can do well at. And you know what I mean? It's like, why can't they just do that? Like, I'm just a good teacher. I'm not good at hiring or firing or training
sometimes
or supervising.
Like
it's not.
I would say, like, they're either, one, unaware of your situation, two, want to challenge you, or C, are on their own prerogative for whatever reason.
It's challenging enough to teach. With okay, so here's the deal. I get paid, like, $28,000 a year, right? And the reason that I do this with a master's degree and all of the background that I have is because it allows me to raise my children. And it's challenging enough just to do that and raise my children. That's it. I don't want anything else. I want more money. I don't want more duties. I don't want more challenges. I just want to do that. Like, that's nothing. Because that's weird, right? Because people want to grow and they want to do different things. They want to get more things in their resume. And
well,
I just don't. I just want to be a mom.
Well, because you found out where your plateau's at.
You're completely right. That's my plateau.
My mom is in the same philosophy. You know, she doesn't have these aspirations to, like, you know, climb to the top of whatever ladder
right.
is going on inside of
right.
her work circle.
Right. No, that's
she knows exactly.
Right. I found out where my plateau was. Completely right. I just want to teach. I want to be a mom, and I don't want all these extra things.
Right. Yeah.
It might
so?
Be something great for somebody else, but, like, for what I'm making, it's completely fine for me. I mean, if they want me to do all that stuff, I'm going to have to make a shitload of money. They're paying so much money.
Right.
Because I would have to pay for daycare and somebody to watch the kids and be here when they got home from school. I just don't want that.
Tell them.
I need to tell somebody.
But, you know, you can't really, you know, because they're going to be like, oh, this is your comfort zone. We're going to challenge you to go outside your comfort
That's
zone.
Why I want a job description.
Yeah.
And I want to sign it or I don't. I want to say, like, no. This is not the contract I'm signing. You need to, like, narrow it or, like, be more definitive. I don't want to keep, like, opening myself up to, like, more and more shit. Because then I just feel... I mean, we've talked about this so many times, like, how my job is completely overwhelming me, like, the last 2 years. Like, I can't keep doing this. I can't keep having more and more responsibilities.
You gotta simplify it.
I don't want more money. I don't want more responsibility.
You can't
I don't want
simplify
any of
it.
Will you help me? Can you hold my hand while I talk to the phone? Please. Jesus. Talk. I need a lightning moment.
You know, my brother's going through this bad breakup right now. I mean, you got to use your past. That's where you know, you've been in situations like this before. You've gone through them and you've tackled them. It's time for that reflection. You're like, what did you do? How did you get through this last time?
Have I ever been in a place where, like, somebody was, like, gave me more or challenged me more
you've been
and
in
I
a position
couldn't
where
take
you've,
it?
You've been in a place where, like, you've been up against a, you know, a rock and a hard place, and you're like, what do I do here? You have to make
some
decisions. You have to.
No.
Never.
No.
It's always been
I have always overcome it. I've always been in a place where I was, like, capable. It's not about being strong. It's like, I've, like, got around it. It's like, right now in my life with Miles and Ben and my job, this is my, it's my plateau. It's my space. It's like, I can't do this. I can't do anymore. And it's not even like they're offering me, like, a promotion. And they're saying, take it. You'll get more money. You'll do this. It's like, they're just, like, layering it on because I haven't said, stop. Give me a description. Give me a job description. And then every year, if you want it to change, my salary and my time needs to reflect that. And because I haven't done that, they've just added on. And now it's like I'm looking at it, and it's like, I can't fucking do it. I literally can't do it. I've never, ever been in a position in my life.
Have you ever had a job description that you signed off on?
Well, I sign it every year.
You do?
Yeah. So I think I can do it.
Well,
I know what it is.
Well, why do you keep saying you don't have a job description?
Because it's not clear.
Okay, well then, maybe to expand upon it. Maybe, like, please, you know... Expand on the job description, because here is what I'm doing, and here's what I was hired to do.
So do you think that there's, like, a major change, like, legally? Like, my, like, office mate, who took, like, 50% of what I did, covered 50% of what she quit and took, like, a different position. I should have a right to say, I want to know my job description, because I don't want to take over, like, the 50% that she used to do. I have to do it now. I want my
Yeah, I wouldn't, like, be driven emotionally. I'd be driven very analytically, like, okay, hold on a second. Just before we head into this new year,
right.
Here's what I understood I did do for this wage. And so he's like, list down what you think you should be doing for your wage. And then it's like, what I have been doing for you.
What I'm going to have to do, because my
just like, tell me what's wrong here.
Right.
Present it to a very unemotional, like, this is, what do you
I'm
think?
I'm feeling emotional.
But, like, detached emotion. I mean, if you need to, like, drive it down their throat, then yeah. But at first, people are, like, more receptive to that.
I'm like, stop it. You stop doing this to me. You fucking corporate motherfucking silver line motherfucking bastard. That's what I'm going to be like.
But it'll be like, what up, Tom?
Can you come with me? And stay in the parking lot?
Tomorrow? I can't imagine
no,
like, oh, I can't
fucking
do it. Fuck it.
God, I feel so fucking stupid and helpless.
No.
I've worked so hard to get this job. I worked so hard to get this job. And you know what's happening? I got exactly what I worked for. What's my ass off for? For 7 years of college, Peace Corps, fucking all this shit, all these references, and now I'm being used as a fucking lackey because they can because I'm allowing them to. It's pathetic. Fucking
you're
out with me. Oh, well, I mean well. Oh, happy me. Oh, great me. I fucking mean well. How great. Oh, I mean well. Yahoo for my students. Woo-hoo-hoo. I mean well. It's great for us, right? Jesus,
mm-hmm.
I mean well. That's fucking cute. That's fucking
really
cute.
Look at her instrument, Dad, before you drop the
bomb.
I mean
well. That's what I'm
going to
do.
This is not being well. This is going to hurt you a little more than it hurts me. If you were Harriet, Truman, would you hurt yourself? Would you?
No,
what?
You wouldn't.
If you were Harriet Truman, would you hate yourself?
Yes! Oh my God, yes! He hate himself.
No.
Have you read his writings after
he
got
bombed? He had great glasses.
Why do you keep bringing this up, though?
It's your phone.
I'm going to get a new job. You know what I'm going to do? I want to be, I'm going to put an M in the paper. I would be the most kick-ass secretary for some, like, majorly powerful, like, bigwig. If they paid me, like, $40,000.
Your dad. Your dad knows all those people that, like, do shit like that.
I can't say that. I can't work anymore.
Tell your dad you'd get back to law. Be a secretary for him.
All I ever wanted to do was work and be, like, a cool, like, working girl. Now that I have kids, I can't do it.
What was that movie with Kevin Bacon? He said, she said, you wanted to be that girl, didn't you?
I don't fucking know. I just can't do it. Jesus. Where's your fucking whiskey? Where's your fucking whiskey cup? God.
I'm fine. I'm completely fine.
Wow.
I got mustard.
Please tell me that you're not recording this whole conversation, because I'm going to tell my kid.
Dumbass. Wait.
Are you
still
drinking coffee?
Yeah.
This is
taking me into the night.
We gotta roll out. Where are you sleeping?
Wherever I want to.
Where do you have a bed? You don't have an apartment anymore. Why don't you sleep here?
Well, I sleep here?
Yeah. You got a bed?
Yeah, because you guys are getting up at like 5:30 or something.
No. We don't. You can sleep as late as you want. Here.
We're going
to
get up.
We have to get up, but you can sleep as late as you want. We have a
yeah.
lot of bed up there.
Yeah.
So it could be kind of quiet. Or you could sleep in the basement, which would be really quiet.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to get up and go to work and shit.
Yeah, we got a full couch down in the basement. Yeah. So
you're
fine.
Totally
the door locked behind me.
Can you jerk off or what?
No, like when I leave. Here.
Wait, I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
Oh. I gotta get the kids off, so I'm not going anywhere. Go to work, and I can make you some breakfast and some coffee and stuff. I have to work, like, at the computer
so
and set up all these meetings and tell everybody to fuck off, but I'm gonna be here.
So, yes, you're fine.
Yeah.
You can do it right up here in this fucking nook, or we have a full couch that we have in the whole place downstairs.
Yeah.
We got fucking 9,000 quilts, 4,000 pillows. Fucking drink.
Get rid of that fucking coffee.
Get rid of that fucking drive.
Well, I mean, I still like coffee. That's why I drink it.
Well, drink it, but you don't need to drive.
Yeah, you're good.
Because I love it. I don't drink coffee in the morning.
Oh, shit. Shit, you don't either.
What is that? What
do
you drink in the morning?
Water, orange juice, milk, whatever. Grapefruit juice, dude, that was so good for a while. I was doing cranberry juice, like one glass a day, because it helps male kidneys.
Everybody's fucking not drinking coffee in the morning.
It's weird.
Well,
what do you need to have?
Come out socially.
Yeah.
No, it's right here.
I'm going to give it to
right
him. Where is it? There you go. That's what you need.
This is a liver redeveloper.
It's not. Can you help me with this? Because it's inside out. It's not just liver, but it's like good food. Can you help me with it on the right way? It's like, it doesn't say anything on there, but it's like the best thing to like have with your liver and your kidneys.
It does say it supports liver health.
It flushes out your system, and if you're at all worried about it, it completely helps you.
We got liver developer.
Because you have arthritis too.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm not listening to you. It's so weird. It gives you hair. I don't understand why.
I got a good hair cutter last time.
That's cool. Oh, that's what I gotta do tomorrow.
Yeah. Haircut?
That's what it was.
Okay,
yeah.
This is just like with Yuri. This is just like when I lived with an asshole abusive husband. Like, I need to fucking draw the line and be like, what do you want from me? I can deliver this, but I'm not gonna do this. My problem is A, B, C, or D. Okay, this is A.
Your problem is not A. We've all determined that this gal over here was your problem.
Cecilia.
I mean, unless
she's that bad.
She's fucking bad. She's fucking really bad.
You know, if she's as bad as you say that she is, there's other people that are aware of her.
She's black.
I don't care.
Yeah, this
black.
Is a university. You don't understand. She already has, like, 4 lawsuits for racism. So, like, it's like...
She's incompetent.
She is incompetent. She's not incompetent. She's probably incompetent, but she's like the kind of incompetent that you never seen. Those are like the first that I want. It's like a vagina. That it's like, you pick up that person, you're like, oh my god, I just want to stick my hand in that and just, I need that fucking mind. Are these kind of cool?
They're doctors, or what, something. Access?
Is
it
Playborn? Playborn. Nice fucking food.
I gotta take him back, so I'm trying not to dirty him up too much.
Why?
It's a half size too big. My foot's been sliding in them all night. If I wear a white socket,
No, what's Miles' godfather? Summertime. My son. He's fucking nice, his wife. He's nice. And he got his, like, the fucking nicest purse. Like,
he's got,
and I'm like, oh my god.
Like Tony Lama?
Yes. It's like, you touch that thing. It's like, the handles are right here. And it's...
Jimmy Choo's?
No, this is Choo. Jimmy Choo's is Choo.
Tony Lama's purse?
This purse... Tony Lama's are Choo's too. But this purse, I don't know what the brand was, but it was like, this purse is like... Okay, alright, so, like, the other day I was watching something...
Julian
Burke. No, it's not Julian Burke. It's something better than that. Okay, so, did you see that show, Kingdom Come?
No.
Okay, did you read that book? What was that book that you were reading when we first met?
Oh, Da Vinci?
Da Vinci Code.
Was it in the movie?
Well, yeah, it was in the movie. Okay, so, and they were talking about how, like, this is, like, the sign for, well, it's like the penis, but it's like the male. Do you remember that part?
Kind of.
Okay. So, but that's really, like the military thing.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's like the sergeant stripes. Like, sure. When you have this, and that's like completely like the male, like that's like goes all the way back to the Greek. And like the female is like a cup, which is that movie and that book too. It's like it was like the it's like all about the cuff, you know. But the Holy Grail of Christmas. And I was talking to
what does it cost?
Oh Jesus! I was talking to that. I was talking
too
to
much.
Sometime, and he was like, "Yeah, I bought that for her," and I was like, "Oh my God!" And I used to thought I was completely weird because I was like, "This is like the vagina of like purses," and it's not like $1,500. It's not that big of a deal, but it's like
that's pretty expensive for a purse.
No, it's actually not. My sister-in-law has, like, the new Louis Vuitton, which is a really nice, and it was, like, at $900. My brother is a complete conservative Republican, and I was like, you bought your fucking wife. Well, he bought his wife. He bought his wife, so why would he buy her first?
Yeah, sure,
he bought her from the Philippines, literally.
Huh?
He bought her.
Bought her what?
Bought her.
Bought her.
Oh, yeah.
Purchaser. Your conservative Republican wife? Brother.
Yeah. So why wouldn't he buy her a Louis Vuitton purse? He bought her. Why wouldn't he buy her a
There's
Louis Vuitton purse?
There's no dog. She lives with his mom.
Yeah, Jesus. But, I mean, she's really cute.
I didn't know she was up for sale.
Well, they do that on those websites.
What, the Ukrainian dates and all that?
Well, not just Ukrainian dates, but, like, she was on the Filipino website, and they, like, talked and stuff, and then he
Is she, like, a little slow, so she doesn't know how to, like,
no,
divorce him
but
and sit back?
No, she's really cute. She's not slow. She's
no.
really But she weighs like 97 pounds, and she's like 5'1". She has really cute little lift drop, and like, fuck her. Why bought her? Bring her. But I like her. Can you like her?
She's a nice girl.
Wouldn't buy her the purse though? Did he say did or did not?
No, he does.
He did.
He keeps her in Jimmy Choo's and Louis Vuitton. He does. He keeps her.
What's the one shoe that's a signature with the red sole?
I don't know.
No, maybe
not. I don't know. But I know that like Jimmy Choo's are like the Section 30 thing, and you know, there's like a few things. I don't have that fetish, but I do actually have like. I actually have, like, a good design fetish. Like, I can understand, like, a good design. And Jenny Summers' purse, it's a fucking good design. A really good design. It's like, I just wanted to hug it. I like, actually would have slept with it.
No.
I would have.
You would have, like, crawled up and
slept with it, that purse. And Mark Summers
I didn't even notice
looking
it.
At me like, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's like this. I don't know. It was just a really... Where's your whiskey?
You haven't seen your sequel?
No, I haven't.
That is like the benchmark for you in person?
It may be. Which, you need to figure out what it is. I have like a person. It's like, I have like, all women must have it. But I especially have it because I have like all these things I have to carry with the kids. So it has to be, like, big enough to carry all those things, but it has to be, like, small enough that I can just, like, put it over my shoulder and, like, go.
You know, Mark and Jen are completely absolute shocked.
Icons are,
and
like,
you
I know they are.
And you know that, like, Jenny talked about that so much that Mark just couldn't get it. Like, when
I'm
he went
sure
to his store, he was just like, I'm just walking through here to piss, and I saw the purse, I have to get it. You know, it just, like, ate him up.
It's weird, because I'm not really, like, name-driven, but I'm, like, design-driven, like, and Joe will tell you, like, when we go someplace, like, I will, like, automatically pick out, like, the thing that is, like, 50 times more expensive than anything else. Not even on purpose. Just completely on accident. It's, like...
Are you, like, drawn to good taste, or... Your taste is defined... I mean, well, whatever. So I don't like. If you call it good, it's only good because some other person priced it $50 more than anything else, or 500%, whatever. So what if I'm drawn to that? So
I am.
What if I don't know what the price tag is before I get to? I'm like, why is this one $2,800?
Yeah.
This
That's
is like 15.
I do that all the time, and it's completely annoying.
When I'm gonna come and wonder, like, there's a job for me when I'm still searching out what I want to do in life. There's like people that determine the price on
before.
Yeah.
I'm that person. You may be that person.
Yeah.
Like, I swear to God, I told you before like, bagel shops became, like, famous.
Market watchers.
I named it. I was like, bagel shops are really big. And it totally was.
No.
And I was probably, like, 15 months later than, like, the real people, but I said it before anybody said it for real.
I didn't call them bagel shops.
Well, I did. I was really young. Okay, let me think of something that's going to be big. You know when they said skinny jeans and it didn't work? I didn't think it was going to work. But the reason it didn't work is because with skinny jeans, you have to have, like, big tops. And they didn't do that. That's why it didn't work. You think you can remember some of that?
I don't like skinny jeans, but I don't like boot cuts.
For yourself?
For myself.
Well,
are you talking about
women? Yeah. They said the skinny jeans was, like, the new big thing, and, like, it can never really fly. But, like, I have this really cool pair of boots, this suede pair of boots that comes, like, right here, and you can't wear them without skinny jeans. You have to have a stretch pant or a skinny jeans to, like, tuck into it.
Why? You want them?
Okay, I'm going to, but Jesus Christ, let me talk about the skinny jeans.
Yeah,
and now you can't. The point is, you can get the skinny jeans at Target or Walmart or any of those, like, cheap places. Because it didn't really fly. You know? People love the boot cut. Girls love the boot cut. Why do I have to eat that food?
Maybe you can use, like, black, you know? Like the Audrey Hepburn.
I have stretch pants, but I wanted the other night with my suede boots.
Mm-hmm.
But my suede boots are. It's so hot, I can't take it. It's like I put them on over my stretch pants, and they look really cute with, like, a big sweater, but it's like my feet are so hot that I can really can't take it. And I love those boots. You like those boots? Did you even notice if I wore anything?
Yeah.
I was like a dog in, like, a pair of shoes, like, out in public. He'd be like, huh, what?
Huh.
You have, like, no idea.
Yeah, I would.
Maybe you would.
Why wouldn't you, Joe?
Thank God he wouldn't.
Thank God, because
during the time that I was just, like, completely, like, not, I was just, I don't know, a slave to the baby and the kids, and I was, like, a fat, floppy, stupid person. You didn't notice. Well, I mean, you did, but you didn't, like, you weren't, like, into it. It's like now, it's like, you can't be expected to be both ways. Because you're cute. And you have pretty facial hair.
Terry, you're all over the board.
Yes, you do.
You're venting about your job, and next thing you know, you're sweetening on your husband. Which is cool, I mean. I like to see that healthy relationship, you know, excel. At the same time, like, I feel like there's, like, a cliffhanger. And I'm like, so how do we get resolution? What are you going to do tomorrow?
Oh, fuck. That's Miles. I'm actually thinking about it right now.
Tired of talking.
Think Miles is asleep, and, like, I don't know.
Or is it not really that important to you?
My job thing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we should get it out. Okay. I'm going to tomorrow. I feel really comfortable about what we talked about. Like, what I'm going to do tomorrow is I'm going to make a list of, like, everything we talked about. I'm going to make a list of all the questions that I have. And I'm going to email B. And I'm going to CC A. And I'm probably going to email B and C. And CTA.
And for your own.
Like, this is what I feel, and I mean, I feel like this isn't an enormous help for me. I feel so much better. It's like, you know, when you talk about, like, corporate America and, like, how things work, like, when you talk about, like, your own position, and you talk about nepotism, and you talk about all these things, like, I'm, like, one of those people who got the primary,
I've been on both sides of nepotism.
That's what I'm saying. It's like I got the good shit.
Sure.
But, like, now I need to, like, figure it out. It's like, so, like, talking to you, like, really helps me figure it out.
But, I mean,
yeah.
Because you're aware of how it works,
right.
both ways.
Yeah.
You understand that much further how to approach the situation.
No, it completely helps me. And I'm going to do that tomorrow. I'm going to email Jeff, who's B, and figure it out.
Yeah.
And I'm going to IM you, like, through the whole process. And just, like, do a baby. Because, like, realistically, I could work at 7-Eleven. 3 days a week and make as much money as I'm making right now. It's not like I have anything to lose.
Right.
You know? Really.
Yeah.
Are you scared?
Mm-mm.
I'm not going to lose my job. I'm really good at what I do.
I'm not afraid of that. I think that they're in a position of understanding what they need to...
Just right now?
Yeah.
If I was really, like, manipulative and really good, this would be the time that I would, like, bargain, because Bridget's gone. I'm the only one there.
Well, that's the reason why you're in
a position of strength. Thought about that, but, like, I'm totally in a position of strength.
Yep.
So I can just be like, what do we have to do? And the only reason that I'm there is because when I hire somebody to fill Bridget, I'm going to be able to tell them, this is what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
A, B, C.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you have to do.
Yep.
This is what I have to do. This is what we have to do. It's like, how can I hire somebody if I don't know that? Maybe you could just hold my hand.
Yeah.
Through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want any of that. Why did you point at it?
They're fun.
Baby man.
You mean minus Travis. That's how I like the best man. He's the rest of my life.
Aren't they kind of fun? They're completely fun.
Well, they're portioned out. They're not overstuffed. They're not understuffed.
They bake very fun.
They're fun. We have some place that we go to that has, like, fried pickles and potato skins that are, like, they're really thin and kind of crunchy and awesome. I love that place.
Calories?
No, it's a local place.
Yeah, in Belton local?
Yeah.
But
they have fried pickles.
McGrew's.
Yeah. We have fried pickles, so.
Well, you have to go then, yeah.
Is it your prescription you're going to fill?
Oh, the bag.
Yeah.
Go ahead, we'll put it right there.
There you go, sir.
There you go.
Take two of these and you'll be fine in the morning.
McGrew.
That's the world quietest vacuum.
That's not even.
Oh, no, coins.
We're supposed to be at least a $5.50 value in order to receive a punch.
We don't give our punches away for free, right? You gotta earn it.
Oh my god.
You know what would be really effed up is like if everything was like $5.25.
We were there the other day and we got so much stuff and it was like $22.
We just got so much food and it was like, how can you see that? I need your teeth. Would you say their loaded potato skins, which are $6, are better than these
right here? Way better. Well, okay.
Those skins are covered in cheese and bacon. I'm looking at this, I see the exact same thing.
You know what? These are good, but these are cooked in an oven and theirs are cooked in a fryer. So there's like a difference. But these are pretty good. These ones are like fried eggs, and they're pretty good. But their fried pickles are just out of this world. Shelly?
Yeah.
Is your mom asleep?
Okay.
Oh,
there he is.
I'm so
oh, Joe, I don't need more coffee for me.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting everything ready for the morning.
Well,
for all of it, Chad.
Look at her, she's so devious.
Oh yeah, she's like, you know, she carries
I like a good challenge.
completely fucking got me. Like, when you see her doing this shit, you see what you see. I feel cheated on her.
This horrible fucking woman. This is the kind of Washington bickering that the public turns out to. And, you know, in all due respect, as a governor, I'm frustrated every time.
Do you want me to hit stop on this one?
All right, that's it. It's a wrap.